Think of how many young men today brainwash girls' minds and seduce them, and then even say, I love you, but they really don't love them, but I want to use you. It's sad because God made sex for marriage, to be delightful between a husband and a wife.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Raul Reese in Diamond Bar, California. Raul once lived in selfish, defiant rebellion against God. His infidelity nearly ended his marriage, and his rage almost destroyed his family. Visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165 to learn how God's forgiveness and mercy brought new life to a man ruined by sin. Today, as Raul continues our series in 2 Samuel, we're glad you've joined us for a sobering study of how our sinful choices can have far-reaching, highly destructive consequences. Exploring the chaos that followed David's infidelity with Bathsheba, you'll see that while God can and will forgive disobedience, He won't necessarily spare us from the fallout of our decisions. Here's Raul Reese now with part one of the lesson, Sowing and Reaping. We'll begin today in 2 Samuel chapter 13.
My lesson tonight, if you just want to remember two words, you notice sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping. It's a tremendous lesson for every one of us to understand that whatever you do today, you're going to reap it tomorrow. Remember that. I don't care who you are. I don't care who you are, whether you're a Christian or not. And David is going to learn some tremendous lessons in his life. That at the age of 54 years old, when he came to the place of older age, is when David fell with Bathsheba. And from that point on, his life in the Lord went downhill. As he began not only to be forgiven, but he had to reap to the consequences of his sin. Just like I have, and just like you have. And we will continue to reap to our sins if we don't stop sinning. Sin destroys people. Sin is a terrible thing that people will do out of emotion, or they'll do it out of ignorance, or they'll do it willfully against God, just like David did, not realizing that your sin will catch up with you. And we need to realize that. Because here in this story, we begin to see that David had sinned by taking Bathsheba and then killing her husband. But now the problem begins in the house of David, not outside. It begins in his own house. And let me tell you this, it is so sad when things begin to happen in your own house. In your own house when there is no peace. And it's so terrible because here is David now forgiven, back with the Lord, on fellowship with God. But David begins to be painfully hurt by his own sin that he had committed. Let's read and see what he says. And after this, Absalom, the son of David, had a beautiful sister whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. Now here is a half-sister and a son and daughter of David, but she's a half-daughter, and he begins to love her. Now, in our English Bible, it's so difficult to understand because if you just read it in the English, you go, God, that's so cool, you know, and then love his sister. But remember, there are four words in the Greek language for love: eros, phileo, storgio, and agape. When we talk about eros love is the kind of love that a man wants from a woman only out of lust. I want to use you. And when I'm through with you, you can go bye-bye. I don't really love you. I just want to use you for my pleasure and my self-satisfaction. That's eros. Here the word is used for eros, lusting after his sister. He doesn't love her. He's lusting after her. He wants to commit fornication with his sister. And he becomes totally sick of lust to go after her. Watch what happens. And Amnon was so distressed over his sister because she was beautiful, Tamar, that he became sick, for she was a virgin and it was improper for Amnon to do anything to her. Can you believe that he became so lustful that he became literally ill? Ill. There are people like that all over the world. That lust consumes them. They can't control it. And then the worst thing about that is the counsel they get from their friends. Look what it says, beginning with verse 3. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimei, David's brother. And now Jonadab was a very crafty man. What does that tell you already? You don't need kind of friends like that. You don't need them to be your friends. You want good friends that are going to give you good counsel, and they're going to counsel you, what, in the ways of the Lord, not in humanistic ways. Or you agree with them. Surely I want a friend that I can go to, and he's going to tell me what is right and what is wrong, and he's not going to compromise his position with me when I talk to him. Because if he does, he's not a real friend. A friend that wants to see you destroyed or even will destroy you is not a true friend. Be careful in choosing friends. Because here, this guy by the name of Jonadab was a wicked person, crafty. Look what it says. And then he said unto him, why are you the king's son becoming thinner day after day? Can you believe that he was so lustful and so sick that he began to lose weight? He noticed that, hey, what's the matter with you? How come you're not eating? What is your problem? And Amnon said to him, I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. Notice, I eros her. I lust after her day and night. I can't get her out of my mind. You know people like that? Maybe you're sitting here tonight. You have somebody in the office you're thinking about all the time. You're not careful with your desires. And if you don't bring them to the cross of Jesus Christ and you don't crucify them, but you let them dominate over your life, they're going to consume you and destroy you. Understand that. It will destroy you. How come you're getting skinny? What is your problem? Man, I'm lusting after my sister. Watch this. Look at his counsel. And so Jonadab said to him, why don't you lie down on your bed and pretend to be really sick? And when your father David comes to see you, say to him, please let my sister Tamar come and give me food and prepare the food in my sight that I may see it and eat from her hand. Hey, when your dad comes to see you, say, Dad, I'm so sick. Why don't you send my sister to me so that she can take care of me and make me eat and this whole thing? And it was a whole trap of the enemy. Notice the counsel he got from his friend, so-called friend. Hey, entrap your sister. Watch this, verse 6. And then Amnon lay down and pretended to be sick. And when the king came to see him, Amnon said to the king, please let Tamar, my sister, come and make a couple of cakes for me in my sight that I may eat from her hand. And David sent home to Tamar saying, now go to your brother Amnon's house and prepare food for him. Hey, you know what I see here? I see that even though God forgave David, David is not in tune with his house. He should have discerned. Something is wrong here. Discernment. That's why we have the Holy Spirit. Something's up here. Verse 8. And so Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house. And he was lying down. And then she took flour and kneaded it. And then made cakes in his sight and baked the cakes. And she took the pan and placed them out before him. But he refused to eat. Now remember, she is a godly lady. A virgin, she's godly, she loves God, and she's not the instigator here. She's not deceitful, he is. Okay? She is a victim. He's not. Watch this. Verse 9 again. And then Amnon said, he said, why don't you have everyone go out from me? And they all went out from me. You notice already, what is he doing? He's setting himself up. I don't want anybody in my house. I want to be alone with my sister Tamar. Notice that. Setting up the situation. And then Amnon said to Tamar, bring the food into my bedroom that I may eat from your hand. And Tamar took the cakes which she had made and brought them to Amnon, her brother, in the bedroom. And now when she had brought them in to him to eat, he took a hold of her and said to her, come and lie with me, my sister. Sounds like Genesis 39, where Potiphar's wife did that to Joseph. Come and lie with me. Man, I am lusting after you. Why don't you come and have sex with me? Literally. He's forcing himself on her now. Notice that the passion is too much for him now. And she answered him and said, what? No, my brother. Do not force me. Don't rape me. For no such thing should be done in Israel. Do not do this disgraceful thing. Notice how godly she is. Hey, don't do this. You're going to defile our family. You're going to defile our friends. You're going to defile me and you and everybody. And this is going to bring shame to our family. You think he would listen? No way. No way. Watch this. And I, he says, and I, where could I take my shame? How am I going to live with myself? And as for you, you would be like one of the fools of Israel. Now, therefore, please speak to the king, for he will not withhold you from me. Hey, you want to marry me? I'll marry you. But go talk to my dad. In that culture, they married half-sisters. Notice, if you ask dad, he'll give me to you, and I'll be your wife. He didn't want her as his wife. Think of how many young men today brainwash girls' minds and seduce them to have sex, and then even say, I love you, but they really don't love them, but I want to use you. And it's sad. It's sad because God made sex for marriage and only marriage, to be delightful between a husband and a wife, not outside of marriage. Outside of marriage in any place, it's sin before God. That's God's word. Check this out, what else he says. Verse 14. However, he would not listen to her voice, and being stronger than her, what did he do? He raped her and lay with her, forced her. Think of how many young ladies have been raped by putting something into their drink, and then they get passed out, and then the male abuses them sexually. That's cowardly. What else does it say? Verse 15. And then Amnon hated her exceedingly. Isn't that a fact? That whenever there's no true love and you have sex with someone, after that, you don't love them, you despise them. Watch what it says. This is incredible. Then Amnon hated her exceedingly, so that his hatred, which he hated her, was greater than his love, which he had loved her. And Amnon said to her, arise and get out of here. Get out of my house. I don't want to see you. It wasn't even a couple of days, the same night after he had sex with her and raped her, he hated her completely. Notice that he did not have true love for her, for his half-sister. He was only trying to satisfy his own lust. Just like so many men today. So many men. Verse 16. And so she said to him, no, indeed, this evil of sending me away is worse than the other you did to me. Hey, no, don't take me away. Hey, what you're going to do now is worse. Why? Watch this. But he would not listen to her. And then he called his servant who attended him and said, here, put this woman out away from me and bolt the door behind her. Notice that. Totally hardened. And now she had a robe of many colors. This was a robe that was given to her to show that she was godly and that she was a virgin. Imagine now defiled. And it wasn't even her fault. And for the king's virgin's daughters wore this such dress. And his servants put her out and bolted the door behind her. And then Tamar put ashes on her head, tore her robe of many colors. Can you imagine that? It was his fault, not her fault. She was raped. And David, listen, David never ever disciplined his son. He just washed it under the carpet. David, the king of Israel, reaping to what he sown. Notice that. Doesn't do anything about it. He says again, the robe of many colors, and what happened that was on her, and laid her hand on her head and went away crying bitterly. And then Absalom, her brother, said to her, has Amnon, your brother, been with you? And now hold your peace, my sister. He's your brother. Do not take this thing to heart. So Tamar remained desolate in her brother Absalom's house. Hey, here's Absalom, her brother, and he knows something's happened. He says, did he touch you? Don't worry, sister. Absalom waits 2 whole years before he kills his brother in the family. You reap what you sow. It brought Absalom to anger to kill his brother for what he did to his sister. Look at verse 21. But when King David heard of all these things, he was very angry, but he never disciplined his son. Notice that. And Absalom spoke to his brother Amnon, neither good or bad. For Absalom hated Amnon because he forced his sister Tamar, because he raped her. Think of how many parents are passive toward their children and they never discipline them. They grow up to be worse. It will bite you at the end if you don't discipline your children. If you don't teach them right from wrong. If you're passive about your discipline, it will catch up with you. They'll end up disrespecting you, not honoring you. David was such a man. He never disciplined his children. Verse 23. And it came to pass after 2 full years that Absalom had sheep years in Baal-Hazor, which is near Ephraim. So Absalom invited all the king's sons. So Absalom thought of a plan. Hey, you know what? I'm going to go have a retreat and I'm going to invite all the king's children. And guess what? Amnon's going to come. And when he gets there, I'm going to kill him. Notice this. And then Absalom came to the king David and said, hey, Dad, kindly note your servant has sheep ears. Please let the king and his servants go with your servants. Dad, why don't you come along to this retreat? But the king said to Absalom, no, my son, let us not all go now, lest we be burned to you. Then he urged him, but he would not go, and he blessed him. So he knew he wasn't going to go, but he got the blessing. And then Absalom said, if not, please let my brother Amnon go with us. And King David said to him, hey, why should he go with you? Notice how David is not even discerning what's going on here. Two brothers hate each other and he doesn't even see it in his own house. But Absalom urged him. And so he let Amnon, all the king's sons, go with him. And now Absalom had commanded his servants, saying, hey, watch now. When Amnon's heart is merry with wine, when he gets a little bit tipsy, kill him. And when I say to you, strike Amnon, then kill him. Do not be afraid. Have I not commanded you, be courageous and valiant? Can you imagine that? Kill my brother. David begins to reap in his own house. Tremendously. Murder now. Rape, now murder. And so the servants of Absalom did as to Amnon, as Absalom had commanded. Then all the king's sons arose, and each one got in his mule and fled. They all panicked. Oh, man, let's go home. So they're all running for their lives. They thought they were going to get killed too. And it came to pass that while they were on their way, the news came to David saying, Absalom has killed all the king's sons, and not one of them is left. Imagine, the guy came so panicked, he says, everybody's dead. David said, oh, no, what? All the sons of the king are dead. There was a slaughter. And so the king arose and tore his garments and lay on the ground. And all his servants stood by him in their clothes torn. And then Jonadab, here's the wise, foolish friend, the hypocrite. Notice, the son of Shimeah, David's brother, answered and said, "Let not my lord suppose they have killed all the young men, the king's sons, for only Amnon is dead." Notice, he knew what was going to happen. He says, "Hey, nobody's dead, only one person, Amnon, your son. He's the one that's dead." He says, "For only Amnon is dead, for by the command of Absalom, this has been determined from the day that he forced his sister Tamar." From the day he raped Tamar, Absalom was never the same. It was in his eyes, in his heart, "You are dead, man. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you." Imagine that. You reap what you sow. Verse 33. "And now therefore let not my lord the king take the thing to his heart, to think that all the king's sons are dead, for only Amnon is dead." And then Absalom fled. And the young man who was keeping watch lifted his eyes and looked, and there many people were coming from the road on the hillside behind. So now what happens? David's house is breaking up. Now Absalom has to flee. He can't come back home. He can't come back home. He has to flee. Can you imagine how David must have felt? Losing his children one by one because of his sin. It's incredible. Watch this. Verse 35. "And then Jehonadab said to the king, 'Look, the king's sons are coming, as your servant said, so it is.' And so it was that as soon as he had finished speaking, that the king's sons indeed came, and they lifted up their voices and wept, and also the king and all his servants wept very bitterly." They came and they said, "David, you cannot believe what happened. Absalom rose up and he killed Amnon, and we fled. We thought he was going to kill us too. And here is David. What does he do? Nothing. Nothing. How sad. Nothing. But Absalom fled and went to Tommy. He went to his in-laws to live, the son of Ahimuth, king of Geshur. And David mourned for his son every day." Can you imagine? David is mourning for his son Absalom, but he's not willing to discipline his son for what he's done. He didn't discipline Amnon. He didn't discipline Absalom. Absalom is going to get worse instead of better. Verse 37. "But Absalom fled and went to Talmai, the son of Ahimelech, king of Geshur. And David mourned for his son every day. And so Absalom fled and went to Geshur and was there for 3 years. And King David longed to go to Absalom, for he had been comforted concerning Amnon because he was dead." So after 3 years, David was okay. But at the same time, he did not discipline Absalom. He just wanted him back. And when Absalom recognized that his dad was weak in disciplining him, what does Absalom do? He turns against his father.
We hope that as you've seen today how David's deliberate sin led to turmoil and tragedy, you've been moved to respond to God's conviction and repent of any disobedience that could negatively impact your life. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. To review today's lesson, just call 800-634-9165 and we'll send you an unedited copy for a donation of $5 or more. When you make your request, simply ask for Raul's message titled "Sowing and Reaping." We'd also like to tell you about a booklet titled "Sin, the Root of All Evil." Further exploring the destructive nature of sinful compromise, this resource will challenge you to recognize and weed out bad habits that are dishonoring to God. You'll also see how important it is to stay alert to Satan's subtle attempts to damage your relationship with the Lord through doubt and temptation. Contact us today to order this helpful resource. Visit us online at somebodylovesyou.com or call 800-634-9165 and ask for the booklet titled "Sin, the Root of All Evil." We'll send your copy for a gift of $7.95 plus shipping and handling. Or you can order by writing us at Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. We also encourage you to connect with us here at Somebody Loves You Radio to take advantage of all of our free Bible-based resources. Join Raul on his YouTube channel every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific for Straight Talk, a Q&A program that explores how to glorify God as you navigate the unique challenges of these days. You can also download all of the Somebody Loves You radio programs as podcasts and download our app to your iPhone or Android. This ministry is committed to enriching your spiritual journey with the life-giving truth of God's Word. We welcome your input into how we can better support you. And when you contact us, we'd love to pray for you as well. Somebody Loves You Radio is made possible through the partnership of listeners like you. Your generosity helps keep us on the air, and every contribution is tax-deductible. Well, thank you for including us in your day. We are blessed to spend this time with you, and we hope you'll join us again next time for more faith-shaping insights from the life of King David.
I am falling in love with you.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.